Voltron fans, and we are back with the AfterBuzz TV Voltron After Show. We are looking at Season 3, Episodes 5 and 6, The Journey and Tailing a Comet. We have a very special guest in studio, so stick around, and team, it's time to form Voltron.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Y'all really ought to see the behind the camera footage. Like, damn, guys.
That's kind of all I have right now.
Yes, oh just dancing all
it's
around.
It's a dance party.
Dancing and Weird Al.
It's a Weird Al dance party.
Yeah.
That's the way to go.
Occasionally we pick very fitting music for the show, and I feel like this is a good way to start for these episodes.
Why would you say that, Katie? I have no idea what you're talking about.
What could I mean? Well, we should probably dig into that and talk about it.
You just wanted to talk about polka, right? You just wanted to have a polka dance party?
I would have started with Angry White Boy Polka, if that was the case, because I think that's my favorite.
It is the best one.
But yeah, actually, Horoscope for Today is my favorite, but as of polkas, that's the best. Welcome back. We are the AfterBuzz TV Voltron After Show. We're here every week for next week. It's great. We're looking at Season 3, Episodes 5 and 6, The Journey and Tailing a Comet. And with me, I have Red Lion, Emma Fife.
That's me. I'm Emma Fife. I can be found all over the internet at my name.
Blue Lion, Alexis Torres.
Hey, guys. It's really good to be back. You guys can find me all over social media at atorres890. And yes, I'm not changing the last name on my Twitter. It's not bad.
Green Lion Megan Salinas.
Hey guys, you can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's THEMENGUIN.
And I'm Black Lion Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias at Kiaxet. That is KIAXET. We have the hashtag on Twitter, ABTVVoltron. We have the live chat if you have fun things to say or questions for our special guest, the Black Lion himself, Josh Keaton.
Hello, hello. I'm Josh Keaton, and you can draw me like one of your French
girls. Welcome back.
Yeah. Thank you for having me back.
I'm glad you're enjoying the couch.
I love the couch.
You're the first guest who's taken full advantage
of being
the
on the couch.
Yeah. You know what? I felt a little weird about it the first couple times, but now I feel like I'm at home.
Exactly.
There was a pillow
out
here.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, somebody left their backpack for you.
Yeah.
Just like make you feel
it's
extra
like free
at home.
Stuff. I love it.
You're just going to go home with this couch, aren't you?
It's the black couch for the black paladin.
But this is the thing, Josh. Are you the black paladin?
Let me have the couch, okay? Let me have the couch. I need something.
You're getting booted out. Yeah, I feel like he deserves to at least walk away.
That's fair. I'll give him the black couch.
Chad is already asking for people to draw you, so expect that in your Twitter feed.
Okay, hold on.
You
there we go. But then I feel like you need to relax your back arm just a little more. Yeah, there we go.
That's it.
Everybody makes good pictures.
We just need the heart of the ocean and it's complete.
Just starting up the camera here. Don't mind me. I'm gonna throw those on Twitter after the show. So if y'all need reference for
I'll be looking at them. I'll be looking for them.
Usually on most after shows, it takes us about 45 minutes to get to that point. So
yeah,
thank you for starting us there.
I did kind of start off the countdown into the show with a little sound effect. So.
That is true. There was some sound effectage going on.
AJ told us you do the best sound effects.
Well, there always has to be somebody in every recording session that'll just randomly, when it's quiet, just... And, I mean, it just kind of puts everybody in a better mood. It's great. It's great.
It makes it real hard to do a cold open, I tell you.
For everybody that's watching, I literally did it 1 second before she had to do the cold open. Everybody was cracking up, and I can't believe you made it through.
Neither can I.
Yes, that is the mark of a true professional.
That is a true pro.
A Jason. Yes.
All right, we should actually talk about these episodes. So, Shiro's a clone. And
wow.
We're just going to throw it out
there. Taking a big leap here.
Right into it. I mean, it's fine.
Project Kuron.
Yeah, Kuron.
It's literally the Japanese word for clone. Well, like, either this
yes,
is going to be
is
the...
Galra.
Right.
This is either going to be
Do they
the
speak
best...
Japanese?
Yeah, is that what we're doing now?
This is either going to be the best hard left turn ever, or we're telegraphing it for the kiddies. Oh. Either way, I'm down.
Listen, when I first saw Shido come back and, you know, he was having his, like, he was looking a little rough. Like, he really kind of needed a haircut. And then someone let him cut his own hair. And I was like, oh, Shido.
No, no, no. No, no.
Oh,
God. Don't.
Okay.
So I liked his haircut.
I'm glad you liked the haircut. It reminds me of, like, you got Looney Tunes. The little chicken hawk with the little tuft of hair.
Yeah.
That's all I could think
of. Okay, I see that. I still like it.
I miss the longer hair.
I miss Leghorn.
I miss the longer clean cut.
Yeah.
But actually, kind of getting back.
I miss the long hair.
But yeah, with the fact that he had hair that long, it's like, how long was he in captivity?
Yeah. So here's the fun thing. I got a haircut I didn't appreciate a while ago, and in trying to figure out how long it would take to fix the damage, I found out that hair grows a half an inch at most per month.
Mm-hmm.
That is not
that
my hair.
That's not my hair.
My hair grows longer than that.
Yeah, my hair grows way faster.
I think that's way shorter. On average.
Okay.
I think that's
maybe Shiro has exceptional hair because everything else about Shiro is already exceptional.
I cut this to a one, and in a month it's like that.
Yeah. I'm envious of all of you.
Well, it could be that we actually don't know how much time has passed for him in particular.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Because we don't know which version of him it is.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah. And we don't know how long
he's been in that
pod.
And we also have no idea if the scenario wherein the Shiro we discover to be maybe Shiro, probably not actually, but no. We'll go with that.
I mean, if everybody's talking about clones, then how do you know that the Shiro that
in the first
the long
place.
In the first one that everybody fell in love with is the, not
don't.
A clone.
We don't
like,
know.
We don't.
The long-haired one that everybody's dragging right now is the real one. Loves him. Nobody appreciates him, and everybody hates his hair. Shiro just can't get a break, man. gets out.
The real Shiro died in the
ring,
and they were like, no, but we really kind of like this one, and we need someone to work like this.
He had moxie.
This is what you do.
And so we backed up his memories to the cloud and keep putting them in Shiro.
Listen,
and occasionally, when your memory is full, I'm going to make it worse.
What's happening?
Oh, I'm going to make it worse. You mark my words.
20 minutes, everybody. 20 minutes.
I missed you.
And if I'm being totally honest, I have not entirely ruled out that possibility. Like, that thought definitely crossed my mind.
That the real Shiro is dead.
That the real Shiro is dead and has been dead for a long time. We have no way of knowing.
Everything is a possibility.
It's true.
It really is.
Guys, here's the thing. Since we're dealing with multiverses, they're all true.
It's true.
All of these things have happened.
Everything is canon somewhere.
Every single one.
We did, AfterBuzz did put up a poll.
Yes.
As to whether or not, you know, asking you guys whether or not Shiro was a clone. And as of right now, so far we have 68% saying yes and 32% saying no.
Mm.
So that'll be up for like another day. So
I do want to say y'all are living in Egypt because that is some denial.
I do want to say to the clone conversation in chat, PFootball79 says clones typically age faster in most stories, so it would make sense for a clone of Shiro to have long hair in a short period of time.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. I was like, clearly he's been in a pod for too long. That's why his hair is so dang long.
Oh, dear.
Which is
I really do think they've just been backing Shiro up to the cloud.
Yeah.
And then occasionally the cloud gets full, so you get gaps in your backup, and that's why he doesn't ever
have
any
fights. He's got to talk for a second.
And I think that Renji has pitched a really great spinoff simply with the use of a hashtag here in the live chat that is hashtag Shiro Black, which of course is a reference to Orphan Black.
Yes!
Which is just
think you understand the fact that that Orphan Black wrapped up a week ago. My heart is vacant. And maybe that's one of the reasons why I'm just so open to the clone theory is that I'm like, yes, I just let Shiro start his own clone club. Like, I would watch that spinoff. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
But to be fair to the people who are voting no, we don't really know how much of what Shiro's actually seeing is actually there. Like, because he's very disoriented when he wakes up. Now, when you looked at the script, did he have, like, any sense of lucidity in terms of, like, what was going on and how he was perceiving things?
The script basically just described the events. So it was describing what he was seeing. It didn't really make any distinctions as to whether or not it was an apparition or whether it was real or not. It's just, this is what he's seeing.
Yeah.
Yeah. because we saw him like see things that would then disappear. So sure. Yeah, it's hard to tell how much of what we actually saw was really there.
Well, and his memories of his own life were a little bit spotty as well. I mean, granted, some of it is just due to the constraints of the episode time, but Chica Knight does point out in the chat that notice, too, how all the memories he flashes back to are only things that happened on the show. He doesn't have any memories of stuff that happened before, so
he also or maybe has that's no individual
the stuff that really meant the most.
Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely.
He has no individual interactions with Hunk.
Oh,
that's the sad part of this episode.
Yep. And Vengeance Knight recommends, Josh, that you ask Dee Bradley Baker for advice on voicing clones.
Yes. Yeah, he's given me a ton of advice over the years. Yep. And
I mean, he is kind of the definitive clone voice. Yeah. Yeah.
I think if we ever do that on the show, I'll
make sure you need to be sure to be more Australian too. That usually helps.
Speaking of Star Wars, we had like a Zeb lookalike in this episode.
I know, and on top
we were on Hoth.
Yeah, very true.
Yes.
And on top of that, I think it was just because of his appearance, but he didn't sound unlike Steve as Zeb.
He sounded a lot like Steve Zeb.
Yeah. Figure out if it was Steve or Travis Willingham, or evidently I'm wrong on all accounts. I have no idea who that was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, but I loved it.
Really,
it was like,
well done, though.
I like this duo that we meet. I like them a lot.
They're fun, yeah.
Yeah, they were fun, and they were, like, at the end of the day, you're like, you feel bad for them.
You do. And I feel like they were the right level of, we don't trust you, we think you're a spy.
Yeah.
They never took it too far, and then when Shiro kind of, he didn't beat him up, but you know what, it kind of put him in their place.
He threw a gun at their face. I mean, it wasn't like a hand, it was a gun.
Throwing the gun is my favorite trope in action scenes. Yes. Like, that is how you make me happy. You empty a gun and then you throw it, just like.
But I love that you bring that up, because my husband and I were actually arguing about it, because he's like, what is happening? Why are they so this? I'm like, they've been sitting on an ice planet for 5 years.
No, I found their behavior to be extremely believable.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I get cranky when it's just a couple degrees down from 70 in the studio, so like, I can't even imagine what being on an ice planet would do.
And they volunteered
for
that.
And they're in the rear end of nowhere for 5 years, listening to transmissions and logging them on technology that one of them still doesn't know how to use.
He doesn't even know his own password.
And let me tell you, that is my day job, and also kind of my nightmare.
Yeah.
I mean, what's my password? I don't know! I'm not allowed to know.
And they're probably really hungry too. If they're talking about eating him, I don't think that they're cannibalistic. But I mean, if you're on an ice planet for 5 years,
as far as we can tell, all they have to eat is instant ramen. So that's what they appear to be eating.
That big crab that just takes their gunshots and just goes away.
Well, I know. I mean, that was
we're
crazy
going
to me.
Tentacle wampa hunting.
That you have these two sort of rebel fighters who show up and save Shiro from a near-death situation, but then, like, actually fighting against a cunning person with more thoughts than I want to destroy everything, they really kind of struggle.
Well, to be fair, this is probably the first prisoner they've apprehended in their entire tenure here on this ice planet.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so they're probably like, what was the protocol for that again? I don't remember. I kind of skipped through that bit in orientation.
Disable the weaponry, pull out the handcuffs, and hang him from a meat hook.
No, but I think that was the movie we watched last week.
If he gets out of all of that, then where's their training?
True.
Yeah.
There's a reason they're on the ice planet.
It might have been reserve training. I mean, and not knocking anything, but it's like, there's a difference, I would think, between being like an active duty person who is always, you know, in the thick of things, and then somebody who's sent off on this planet to just kind of listen to transmissions. You're not probably up and training. There's no other people there to train with except themselves, and they're probably just eating ramen and listening to stuff, looking for food. Yep. So, yeah.
You've pretty much accepted that you're in rural Wyoming and no one else is going to be there. So,
but once somebody who is there who actually can get out of all of your traps, and I mean, it's pretty crazy.
I feel like they're actually like the perfect snapshot for the resistance that we see outside of the Voltron team, because the actual resistance is, I imagine, a lot like the way it's presented in the early seasons of Rebels, where it's like, there are these patches of resistance, but there's no unified force.
Just different rebel cells that eventually all come together to become the Rebel Alliance. Yeah, I think that's a very solid theory there.
You definitely see that they lack some cohesion.
Definitely, yeah.
But I mean, the resistance seems to be alive and well in multiple realities here on Voltron. as we saw, the first return of Shiro in this season was in
Guns of Gamora,
slightly different form.
Yoo-hoo!
Yoo-hoo! Lauren was telling us a little bit about your prep work for that episode.
So was it just a lot of Frozen?
Prep work? I didn't even think about Frozen. Like, I didn't. You know what it is? It's that my kids have watched it so to death that I've put all thought of that movie out of my head. So it didn't, Big Summer Blowout didn't even come into my mind. And I had no time because we get the scripts the night before.
Yes.
It depends on when they send them. Sometimes they'll send them in the middle of the day. Sometimes they'll send them in the evening. Mm-hmm. There have been a couple times where I didn't get a script till the morning I showed up.
Oh, goodness.
Luckily, I didn't have a lot to do those days, but I mean, it's happened. And on this one, it was like 8 o'clock. It was like 8 o'clock at night the night before, and I got the script. And actually, this was the first one that I was back in for the first three episodes. And for that, like, they actually made a very, very clear point at the end of season two to tell me, like, they actually called me and they're like, okay, it's gonna look like you die. It's gonna look like you die. You're gonna be back. We got more for you to do. That's all they told me. I still don't know if I'm alive or dead.
And then the first script you get is bad.
They still haven't told me if I'm alive or dead. Like, that was the last thing they told me about. We still have more for you to do. That's all they said.
Schrodinger, so like, Shiro.
I was like, all right. Okay, and then I get the script. I'm like, sweet. Okay, cool. I'm back. And I read, who the hell is Shiro? Ben? Wait. And then they don't say anything about the accent in the script, but I can tell by the words that are written, yoo-hoo and all. I'm like, they want me to do the accent. They want me to do the accent. By this time, it's already like 9 o'clock at night. And I'm like, it's 9 o'clock. How the hell am I going to learn a freaking Scandinavian accent like by 9 a.m. tomorrow? And luckily, I mean, it didn't have to be good. But I mean, I was just, I looked up like Ilvis and PewDiePie and anybody that I could think of that had like a voice that would kind of vaguely be in that vein. And then there's a dialect coach that I know that I normally I would have had a week or whatever, and I would have been able to work with somebody on it. You know, I managed to get a hold of him like the morning of, and so he just kind of like read some of the stuff back to me over the phone, and I was like trying to like record it, and but there was just no time, and it was crazy. It was a whirlwind into bad Scandinavian. So sorry, Scandinavian. I tried, but you know what? Honestly, I had a great time. I had a great time, and once I just kind of throughout of my mind that, hey, this is not going to be a super accurate accent. Just like roll with it. Then I didn't even think about it anymore and just did it. And everybody in the booth was laughing their asses off. All, like, I don't remember how many of the paladins were there, but the ones that were there were dying. Luckily none of the takes got messed up. Because I don't know if I would have been able to do the accent the second time.
But, imagining Bex
giggling, dying.
She was. But I also will say, I think we talked about this with Joaquin and Lauren also, that I don't think the accent was necessarily super consistent in the original series anyway. So,
the whole thing is, they took the space hospital.
Yeah, but I mean, even if it wasn't consistent in the original, it's like I still want to try.
Yeah, of course.
Do my best in there and like throw something in there. And I wish I would have had more time, but that's his accent now. So that's where it's going to be if he ever comes back, or if somebody wants me to say something out of town.
And he's fine. He's in the space hospital, he can come back.
It is the reality anytime. Where everything worked out fine.
Yeah. So. I just need an episode with every Shiro in it.
So like the Red Power Ranger episode? Yeah!
I need Forever Red, except for Shiro's.
And the background music could be, I need a Shiro. Yeah. I'm holding up for a Shiro.
There's a Shiro.
Oh my god,
if you look inside your
house. Oh my god, I'm talking all the Hero any song. I'm just gonna put Shiro on it now. I can be your Shiro, baby.
That was
exactly where my mind was. That's the first thing I thought of.
And they say that a She-Hero
is famous. You can't bring those memories back right now. Stop ready.
Wait, Tori, if you have all of the clones, we can be She-Hero.
Just for one day.
Just a side note, this is all a playlist on Keith's iPod.
Yeah, where's the Spotify for this? Yeah. I need myself a Shiro Hero playlist.
There goes my Shiro.
Yes, I love that you know.
I can't.
Sabrina in chat says Big Shiro 6.
Oh. Yeah. They've got the robot suits. Yeah.
No, we have a full-on Shirobot. Like, oh god, that's horrifying with the camera lens sounds for the eyes.
Yeah,
this is messed up.
Like I said, kind of unsettling, just a little
bit.
Just a little bit.
I love Shiro's plan that's basically just like, this has to be timed perfectly or I'm gonna die in space.
Yeah.
And then he almost dies in space.
Can we talk about how horrifying it is that he was so close.
So close.
And
so
then
close.
They just took off and he just spends the next 7 days without any food or water. But not only Captain Kirk, like No Man's Skying.
Yeah, no, for real.
Just like, not even any tunes or...
that would waste fuel.
Yeah. But I also... Can we think about Keith listening to those captain's logs?
Oh,
after all?
No.
I told you I'd make it worse.
Yeah, I felt terrible for Shiro, but I also was... And granted, I understood. He was in a situation wherein he couldn't have really made a better plan, but like... There was no plan. It was just no.
If the fires had actually scrambled and Voltron had been a little closer, he might have gotten murdered in space. But
he
Project Caron, start
he
part four.
It.
Oh, God.
That close.
How many times do you think they lost a Shiro in space during the beta testing of Project Caron?
Sabrina says, hi, says, for a moment I thought the Paladins accidentally killed Shiro.
That would be so tragic.
And to Cobalt in the chat who tagged me, yes, I do remember our conversation about selective anime hearing.
On a very special episode.
Yes.
When did it become Bold and the Beautiful?
Speaking of, anime-esque stuff, I love how hand-drawn Shiro looks in some of the frames in this episode.
Yes. Especially with the helmet and everything. It looks so good.
Yes, I couldn't figure out what was different about that. Yeah.
It's the helmet and the way that it was framing Shiro's face.
It looked like they were rough hand-drawn lines, which this show is animated digitally, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So that's a very distinct look for the show to intentionally take.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, kudos to the animation department again, because it looked fantastic.
So good. I think the one other thing we need to hit on in this episode, if we're I can't say we're done making fun of clones, but we've certainly done quite a bit of that, is that we put a tail on Lotor. And he didn't last long.
Oh, can we...
Back at the murder ranch.
I think my
Hagar sending someone to follow him.
He had like three lines. General Rot.
He's dead now.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
He's rotted.
I will say... Oh, go ahead.
Okay. Lotor walking in and just throwing the disembodied arm on the ground like... What of it?
I just love that he's basic. Like, we don't know who his actual mother is at this point, but, like, I love how it was just, don't tell me what to do, Mom!
Yeah.
And so was that.
Go to your room!
No, I'm the leader. It's fine.
It's like, I am the leader. I'm also not my dad.
I don't have to be like dad.
Are we sure you're not my dad? Because in this next episode, you're really acting like dad. Yeah.
Quit comparing me to dad, Mom.
Oh.
I'm going to go to my room and listen to some punk music.
Oh, my God.
Classical punk music.
Galactic punk music. The galactic punk
is. It's like classical piano.
Whatever Karan used to listen to.
Yeah, exactly.
It's old school.
Oh, no.
Oh, good Lord. Is there anything else we want to touch on for the journey? Is there anything you want to touch on for the journey? Anything that left on the cutting room floor? Any behind the scenes
stuff?
No,
you know what? This was actually one of the few episodes that everything except for the everything except for the scenes with the rebels was done in ADR.
Oh, wow.
It was
one
of the first ones where it was animated and I chased it.
There wasn't that much dialogue in the grand scheme of things. Yeah. Like, I was rewatching it and thinking about how little actual conversation actually occurred.
7 minutes or so before anybody even says anything?
Yeah, I think I noticed
that. A lot of yelling and getting
hit. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. There's a lot of just, like, you trying to lift things and just, like, grunting. It was mostly you grunting for the first, like, 10 minutes.
Somebody actually, like, did a YouTube compilation of all of my grunts. It's like 10 minutes of me just, like, making grunts.
Because I was rewatching it.
It sounds effort really bad.
Noises. Yeah, and I was just like, wow, there's just a lot of Josh effort noises happening. So, we got words now. Okay.
I will say that, like, obviously this show has always, it's taken its subject matter very seriously, and it's done a really great job still being fun despite all that. But this is one of the most somber episodes I think we've gotten up to this point. Yes. And the only other thing, just little detail I want to point out, is that when Shiro's, again, we don't know if he's hallucinating or not, but when he's looking at himself, the version of himself that he's seeing is not blinking.
They specifically say the one that's on the table that he's looking at, not blinking.
Yeah. Not moving. I mean, they specifically say that he's not responding to optical stimuli.
Yeah.
When they're working on him, so this and clone later is defective.
On, yes. And then later on, we have a cut to is responding to optical stimuli, is approved for use in the project.
Yeah.
And we're on. And we're on phase 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many Shiros do you think are just running around in the world now?
I feel like enough to pilot
three
a Voltron.
Sub 1, 3 sub 2, 3 sub 3. Like, I really think they lost a lot of them in beta testing.
Yeah I'll take that.
Again, it'll be interesting. It'll when we get the full explanation for Project Charon eventually, one day.
You say that like it's gonna happen.
God, I hope so.
Like, I am beyond the point.
Just shrugging over there. Just Kanye.
I am
back
beyond
here.
The point of expecting anything I watch to explain anything to me ever because I watch way too many comic book shows.
Yep.
I'm like, was that supposed to make sense? I'm sorry. Anyway, moving on to Tailing a Comet. I just love watching Allura fight.
Yeah.
Dude.
She's so
bad.
I'll get
Mad
Ivy from Soul Calibur. Yeah.
Yes.
I want this all the time.
Dat whip.
Oh, my
and
God.
And that power when she's, like, got Zethrid right there and she's pulling her in. Yeah. Oh, it's so rad.
Goosebumps.
And Zethrid. Zethrid's my season 3 crush.
Oh, my God.
I love Zethrid.
She's so cool.
So awesome.
I just finally got to wreck someone, and it was off screen.
The guy from the previous episode, like, you've been disarmed. Goodbye.
But I love that she's been so frustrated so far this season. She's like, all I want to do is fight somebody who's good at fighting.
Yeah.
And I love that, like, her worthy opponent is Princess Allura.
That's my favorite.
That
part.
Did make me extremely happy.
Yeah. I also enjoyed that Lance actually kind of was a sharpshooter in this episode.
Absolutely. Okay, so I haven't been here in a long time. All I need to say is, what up, people? Blue Lion has been stepping it up. Okay, sorry, I just want to put that out
you
there.
You came back for the right episode.
Oh my God, I was so proud of Lance. Just tears as I watched this
Lance
episode.
Lance puts
like,
out a lot of confidence, but he needs it.
He does. He's getting this victory. I love Lance. And
Lance
I love
deserves
that he's,
a win.
Yeah, and I love the fact that he is that comedic relief and he's really, like, really into himself and everything like that. But I love that he's matured in this season. This is what I needed. Like, I don't think I can have another 7 or whatever episodes of him just being finger guns.
Yeah,
because I think for me, both, you know.
Do that again.
Finger guns. I can't do the snap because my wrist.
Poor carpal tunnel wrist.
Okay.
So I was very satisfied with this season overall for Lance. And in this episode, both Lance and also Hunk, because I felt like they portrayed what's so great about both of those characters from the point of view that with Lance, we saw a lot of maturity. This was a great episode for Lance. And also, Hunk was portrayed as being extremely intelligent.
Yes.
We've missed that a lot. Agreed.
Like, we have really missed that aspect of him. He's been really good with, like, the food and the comfort and the comfort food, but he's kind of their mechanical genius.
Yeah.
It's so nice to see that.
You know what I see with Hunk and why he doesn't really, at least the way I see him, why he doesn't really show a lot of his smarts? Because it's so easy for him.
Yeah.
Like, cooking is his passion.
Right.
Like, that's what gets him excited. And it's like, yeah, I can build that thing. Yeah, I can make Fraunhofer. Yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah, here it is. Use it. Go, do it. Let me go make these cookies.
Yeah.
Like that's how I see him. Like that's what he loves, and he's great at all this other smart stuff, but he this is what he loves.
Yeah. I love that he and Pidge are the only ones on that level together.
Completely.
But I really enjoyed watching that, just because even if it's like, all right, I really don't understand most of the science behind here, I have an English degree, it's still fun to watch passionate people go at it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. I agree.
Absolutely.
Genius. So, yeah, this I think was Hunk's best all season, and it was definitely Lance's best.
Well, yes.
Let's talk about that conversation a little.
Can we?
You two look very happy.
Listen, you guys. This was
okay. Emma knows where I'm going with this in my head, at least.
Listen, a lot of people made an Otome Games screenshot.
I love
out of that last look that Keith gives Lance before he exits the room.
Hey, tell man. Lance he's bad at math.
Yeah, yeah, there's lots of, and other options, too.
Oh, yeah.
But, no, I mean, you guys, listen, I support all of your ships, but this one's mine, so.
I mean, like, you can ask Emma.
Sorry,
anytime I'm on Instagram, I'm just throwing Clance images at her
does,
all day.
She does send me stuff a lot, it's so, like, yeah.
But, I mean, besides the love in between the two of them, I really like that we actually get to see them not fighting for once.
Yes.
Like, it was an actual intelligible conversation happening between the two of them, like, about their the future.
I really do think that Lance came to Keith because Keith is the only one who's not going to baby his emotions.
Exactly.
Because everyone else is, oh no, it's fine. Oh no, you're okay. Well, yeah, you're kind of annoying, but no, you shouldn't. And Keith is going to be the one to tell him if he needs to get off the team. Keith will tell him
of
that.
Of course.
Yes. Yeah. He's just like, no, well, you're terrible at math.
The thing
all.
Is, he went to Keith specifically expecting Keith to be like, you're right, you're the weak link, bye.
Yeah. And after we see an episode where he was an integral part of the fight.
Absolutely. Yeah. And this episode is so important for building up Lance's confidence as being the right-hand man of Voltron, because not only does Keith tell him, no, bro, just like, worry about yourself. It's all going to sort itself out. But then when they do actually go out on a mission, Keith is like, you know what? I'm going to sit this one out. Shiro, you go.
Yeah.
And then Black is like, and I missed you, but
I don't recognize
on.
You.
I found someone else.
That's
you
the,
better not stalk me like my last ex.
That's the big question, though, was, you know, when whether or not, like, whether or not our Shiro is a clone or not, that's neither here nor there. Shiro being back with the group changes the dynamic that they had to, they were basically forced
building,
to create.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, where does that leave everybody? And we get that a lot in this episode of both Keith and Shiro kind of not knowing when to step down in terms of calling the shots.
And I love that, like, awkward moment right up at the beginning where they both get up and go, okay, here's the plan, and then go, wait a minute.
Oh, wait, no, after you.
Yeah. No, I insist.
For you, Josh, when you got the script for this episode, because again, they had not given you any indication exactly what it was that you were going to be doing. You just had seen, oh, cool, I'm Sven now.
Right.
So when you got the script and you read the scene where you were going to attempt to use the Black Lion and it did not go your way, what was your reaction to that?
It kind of bummed me out. because again, I was still going on, this is just me now, Josh. I was going on the whole assumption of what they told me, where they're like, we still have stuff for you to do. So I was like, well, but the Black Lion's not responding to me anymore.
Aww.
So what am I going to do? Am I just going to like sit and hang back in the castle with Karan? And like, she doesn't sound too bad. You know? But there really wasn't, I basically had no roadmap going forward for any of this. When we get the scripts, we're really just kind of we're recording these the same way that all of you watch them, in the same order, with the same amount of information going into it that you guys have going into the episode. Like, when we get our scripts, we don't know what's going to come after that. We don't know what's going to be in the next episode. We don't know what's going to be in the next five episodes, in the next season, or however much they have planned or what they're going to do. We don't know any of that. We just know what we've already done and what's in front of us right there. So when I got that, I was like, okay, he's back. Okay, he's talking to Keith. He's trying to figure it out. He's stepping up. Keith's letting him do it, but oh shit, man, the line's just not. Wait, can I say? Shoot, man.
Over and done with now.
Yeah, yep. Like, what? Really?
Oops, sorry.
Over there.
But yeah. That it was kind of it's. I've had these moments just as an actor because I feel so close to the character, I feel so close to the show, I feel so close to the cast that like when I read these things, it probably has a lot of the same effect on me as it does to a fan watching the show who's just following the story along. I read every script just like that.
You must have been relieved that you did actually get to come back as quickly as you did.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, not flying a lion.
No, that's true.
Yeah. I can't tell if that's, like, genius of, like, the staff to do to you guys so you guys don't know too much and don't say too much, or just terrible torture for you guys.
It's probably a little bit of both.
Okay.
They probably like trolling us.
Yeah.
I want to know how many takes start with reading the line and end with, wait, what?
Oh, no, we read, well, most of us. read this. Not going to mention any names. No, I really won't. But most of us read the script beforehand, so... Okay. But actually, there have been some of those moments, usually in ADR sessions, if they change a line and we're not really and it changes the context of the scene and we're not really sure. Like, we'll kind of remember the scene from when we recorded it before the animation, but now that we're watching the animation, it's all different. And then there'll be a line change, and then we'll be like, "Wait, what?" And then, or we'll see how we'll hear like one of the takes that they picked with the visual while we're watching it back when we're doing the ADR, and it might totally be not what we expected. And so, I mean, there is stuff like that, but usually we're not in a session like in the middle of the line read doing that. That's usually at home the night before.
Okay.
But there definitely is that. Yeah. There definitely is that.
I think it's
a lot of moving parts.
I think it's interesting too that bringing Shiro back into the narrative so quickly, you end up with what I think was not necessarily expected to be the storyline of this season, because obviously very early on we see everybody shuffled into piloting the lions that they piloted in the original Voltron series, and we thought it was going to be a lot of, okay, Keith is trying to figure out how to be a leader, but now he's kind of trying to figure out how to be a leader with Shiro already being back.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm. Right. It's a weird dynamic. It is, because it's like with Shiro gone, then Keith really does have to completely step up. And now that Shiro's back, there is that confusion. Do I defer to him now? I mean, do I still take advice from him even though he can't pilot the lion and I'm in the lion now? Like, there's a lot of, and he does still have to take on a lot of that responsibility, because even though Shiro is still kind of watching over him from the castle, there's a big separation there. Like, Shiro's not in the thick of things no matter how close they are on the radio. He's still got to get information relayed to him versus somebody that's right there.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I mean, there's still decisions that Keith's going to have to make, mm-hmm. but once they're back in the in the ship, it's a little weird.
I think Keith is still now the Black Paladin and the head of Voltron.
He sure is.
Yeah.
I think the worst part of all of that is that it took him so long to come to terms mm-hmm. with the fact that he needed to step up and take on that leadership position. And then just as he's getting accustomed to it, that's when they find Shiro and this friction begins. Because I think the only time they've ever had, like, as characters, they've ever shared any friction is when talking about him potentially leading Voltron.
Yep.
Because he's like, that's not anything I want to be a part of. And then we have this here where he's finally stepping up to do just that. And Shiro's having trouble letting go of the reins. So it's a very interesting to see that sort of that shift in their relationship.
I just see that whole, like, of just like, this is what you wanted. Why are you, like, on my case now? Like, kind of thing, like, happening. Space Dad.
It's hard not to regard it with suspicion. Especially with the whole, is it actually Shiro? Is it a robot? Is it a clone? What the heck is going on?
Right,
sort
right.
of thing. Like, is he doing this on purpose? Is it conditioning? Is he giving bad orders? There are so many questions, and you can't help but sit there and, you know, push in the thumbtacks and do the red string.
Yeah. Well, and I think, Josh, you bring up a good point, too, of the fact that Keith is still going to have to make some of these decisions, but Shiro, even not actively being involved in the fight, is still on some level trying to make some of those decisions for him.
Yeah, and I mean, that definitely is weird.
Yeah.
And it's rough, too, because the other paladins are on, not on purpose to be on Shiro's side, but most of the time, anytime when Shiro says something, they're like, yeah, I agree with what Shiro says. Sure. And of course, yeah.
They defer to him. And they're like, well, he's got a point. And it's almost habit at that point.
Yeah, I mean, you see how quickly Keith defers to him. Like, right away. And Shiro doesn't even think about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Allura jumping on that, that same, onto the same train as well. Just like, every time Shiro was pointing out something Keith should be doing or where they should be focusing, she's immediately agreeing with him to, regardless of whether or not Keith thought it was a good idea.
Especially because where we left off, not completely from their relationship, but the fact that sometimes Allura and Shiro were usually butting heads. So it's very interesting to see that dynamic now, especially now that Shiro's been gone for so long.
For X amount of time.
Yes. I worry so much about the whole Winter Soldier thing. Like, I really do think he's conditioned for some
something.
Awful stuff.
Yeah, something. The hashtag Winter Paladin is alive and well in the chat, along with Not My Shiro.
Yeah. Which is so crazy. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks. I still love you.
Well, we've been theorizing about him being a sleeper cell for, like, basically since the show started. Yes. But clone was not something that was really tossed in here
until they started saying
sleeper agent.
Yeah.
Until they straight up said Project Quran.
Yep, and I was like, oh, there it is.
I was like, oh, God, there's, like, three Shiros on this ship alone. Why can't I hold all these Shiros?
But that being said, Keith deserves an MVP award for being able to. It's funny, too, because he even sort of gets chided at the end of it too, but he basically figures out the perfect solution to this battle scenario
and still sort of gets scolded
at the end.
It's like he knew
that was really smart.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
It was a stroke of brilliance.
Was it?
And such a middle finger to Lotor too.
Like, it was great.
It was perfect. It was perfect. It was
Can we talk about the backseat piloting on both sides?
I was just like, somebody just pick a speed. I can't do this right now.
Because we had Shiro on the screens, and we also had Lotor going, do this, do that, do the other thing, also do this. You failed even though I was calling the shot.
I know, I didn't understand that.
You're going to talk about your failure. I was just like,
okay, all right.
You take a lot after death.
And Barak's is just like, God.
Can we also talk about, real quick, about this poor Galra general.
You're not taking my base.
Oh, he got so wrecked.
Oh, poor thing.
And she believed him, too. Yeah. I believe you. But you're still going to hurt.
Yeah. Yep. Doesn't matter.
Yep. So you got to take your medicine.
Victory or death.
Yeah.
Take cake.
Yeah, it was interesting to see in this episode Lotor turn a little more, because previously we've seen Lotor be pretty even keel, and it seems like he's really got a good thing going with his, like, clique of general girls, and this episode, it was like, things got dark.
This is the first time that we've seen that things haven't gone exactly his way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Every time he's walked into something, it's been like, well, if this happens, we win, and also if this happens, we win.
Plan B,
this is a learning mission, and yeah, he's got a Xanatos number of plans here. Hmm. And then this one, it was a straight-up failure because they did not get the Teladav.
Nope.
Yep.
And that's what he wanted.
Yep. And it's their fault.
It is. How did they make a ship out of that comet that quickly? Like, how much time has it
been? What I'm telling you is that the Galra have this weird sub-dimension where they have all the time that they need. That's where the Shiro clones were.
They have a ton.
Yeah, that's why his hair was growing so fast. Because time, it's like going into Narnia, you guys, okay? Like, you can be there for years, and you come back, and it's like 20 minutes later.
Once an emperor in the Galra Empire, always an emperor in the Galra Empire.
There's a lot of great stuff in the hashtag on Twitter.
Shiro gone is my favorite.
Yeah, that's my friend. That's my friend Lizette, actually.
I like Bizarro Shiro. That one's
Bizarro
awesome.
Bizarro Shiro's pretty funny. Yep. And I like Trenton Dixon 05 agrees with us about Hunk and Pidge being super smart working together. And then here's another great theory from @RosMystica01. What if they did a Tsubasa Chronicle move wherein old Shiro was the clone and the one that's here now is the actual Shiro?
That's what I was just saying.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to go with the clone theory, then you have to have all the...
Either way.
All the theories open.
You gotta explore all those different avenues.
Love all the Shiros.
Dear God, the Tsubasa reference.
Yeah,
wow.
And we made a remark earlier regarding the fact that we would like to see an episode with all the Shiro. And at Sinasai tweeted a very great reaction to it of basically a person like just hyperventilating.
Oh, so. Sinasai, oh, bless you. I didn't realize you were watching. Hi.
I'm imagining a scene from like Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds.
Yeah, I mean,
like where she goes out and like she's just looking around and it's all just little tiny Shiros everywhere.
Somebody please Photoshop.
And instead of a, it's
right.
Lance! Lance!
And then one of them, yoo-hoo! Just one sweat.
Randomly there.
Just one.
Yeah, so like somebody, a pelican in this flock of birds.
Yes, so basically somebody please Photoshop that picture of Tippi Hedren, like running, that screenshot of her running away from the birds, but just make it all Shiros. All Shiros.
I would also accept...
With some Svens in there also. Yes,
it's like Keith's home for wayward Shiros.
Oh, no!
I would also accept Narnia fan art with, like, I don't know.
Seder Karan.
Seder Karan. I would be the happiest person.
Oh my God. Hagar is the White Witch. The Black Lion as Aslan.
I want it. I want this poster.
Oh my God.
All of it.
Listen, guys, I think I'm really onto something.
And Slav can be the wardrobe.
Yeah.
Be a wardrobe with a ton of arms.
I will say, I'm circling
like
back
the
to
Beauty
the
Beauty and the Beast wardrobe.
To the Sven episode. But I really enjoyed the Sven and alternate reality Slav dynamic.
I was laughing so hard watching that episode.
Yeah, badass Slav was badass.
Yeah. It was pretty awesome. Oh my goodness.
I had a point and I completely lost it.
So, again, go ahead.
No, you got it.
I was just going to say, to kind of get back to what Lotor is doing, anybody else think it's weird that when you're the leader of the Galra army that you basically stage this break-in when just be like, hey guys, bring me that thing?
No, see, that makes sense to me because... It's like he's embezzling from the company.
But it's
like,
weird.
Technically it belongs to me, so I can take what I want, but we really don't want people to know about this because, boy, is it a bad PR move.
But again, the only people right now I think he has to worry about is Hagar, since his dad's comatose.
Hagar's kind of a big person to worry about,
and I think
he's
assuming...
No, but the Galra gossip quite a bit. I mean, you remember in the scene where they introduced Lotor,
true.
And you got these two, you know, burly Garo soldiers that are just, you know, just gabbing it up and talking about Lotor, and, you know, it's...
Talking about...
I definitely think that there is a Galra grapevine and stuff moves through it really quickly.
And it does not take much for there to cause discontent.
Well, and especially because it seems like Lotor was coming into a situation wherein he was not necessarily popular, and so then he shows up and is totally different from his dad, so all the people who were kind of like... we don't know how we really feel about Emperor's Archon, or like, we like Lotor now, but one wrong move and they could easily turn on him.
Stealing a very rare resource for personal use twice. The Comet and the Teledove, and he's been working on this Teledove thing for God knows how long because Aksha was in the belly of a Weblum taking Teledove back with her. So there's a plan in progress here. We just don't know
and
what it is.
Side note, what does he want from, like, obviously multiverse travel is, like, a cool thing, but ultimately, what do you want you want to get to another dimension?
I mean, there could be, that's the other thing, is because there's so many dimensions, you can get a bunch of stuff, so there's, like, probably maybe certain weapons, maybe there's a different type of comet, or maybe even before the comet gets there, so that he can use it for something else. Like, there's so, like, it was kind of crazy trying to go through, like, the list of things of why he would need to go into another dimension, but I definitely think that has to do with something, maybe getting rid of Ultron altogether.
Like, it's just, it's obviously something you can't get at the Space Mall.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. You can't trade it for anything either.
Not even from the Unaloo.
No.
Nope.
No.
Can you just imagine him, like, lugging this huge Teledov lens into the Space Mall and being like, well, I'll give you a Kaltenecker for it.
Where did you get this?
Now I'm trying to break game system.
I was like, did you want another cow?
Now, again, we don't really necessarily want to spoil anything beyond these episodes, but I'm going to, so...
Thank you!
Whoa. Well done!
Should we save that for after the camera?
No, because it's a question that chat wants to know, and I know Josh and I were talking before the episode about the fact that you really enjoyed the next episode after this, which was all a big flashback
episode.
Spoiler
alert.
So
you've
been warned.
Yes.
What did you think of the reveal of Hagar actually being Zarkon's lady?
Uh, it,
Ray that wants whole, to know in the chat.
It was amazing. And the whole, well, for one thing, like it totally turned everything on its head that I thought about Zarkon. Because at first, like, I didn't really understand his obsession with the lion. And then once I saw that, really, he kind of did it all for love. It's like, whoa, I didn't even know you, Zarkon. And that's crazy. Like,
yeah.
It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking that something so pure and good led him to become what he is.
Yeah.
Did Neil hold up the script and go, I told you.
I'm sure he's doing it now, still.
Yeah. I just want to know when Lotor happened.
Yes, that was my first question.
My theory is, I think we talked about this. We might have talked about it a little bit last week, but I threw out the fringe theory. Like, they had a kid, that kid died, and they stole him from another dimension.
Oh,
that makes more sense.
Okay. Or the... We should swing back to the episode
because
we do have people in chat saying, sure. I have it on mute right
okay,
now.
Yeah, okay, right.
Okay, sweet.
So. We're back.
But
we're back,
I thought it was a good question and people wanted to know.
Yes.
So.
Excellent question.
Here,
and it's definitely great to get your two cents on it. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, that was a fantastic episode. No more spoilers. But
No more spoilers.
Great episode.
Back.
Is there anything else we want to cover from these two episodes? Because we're kind of running short on time.
How long until Lotor creates an anti-Voltron?
That was my prediction.
So he created a spaceship that was kind of like Kiki legs. Like, that's what it looked like to me. It was a pair of legs.
I'm a leg.
They're all a leg, evidently.
A leg. Just one. No, I definitely thought, since, sadly enough, I'm not going to be here next week, that... honeymoon.
You say that like it's
just
a bad.
Honeymoon. I just feel bad. I haven't been here. But... I definitely think that's what he's using the teledub for, is to find more comets to make...
Anti-Voltron.
comets to make a anti-Voltron. I mean, I'm just thinking of, like, different Gundams and stuff in my head right now.
Yes.
But, like, you know what I mean?
To make the Epion!
Making the Wing Zero.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm thinking of. But, like, the fact that that's what he would use, you know, fight giant robot with giant robot.
I mean,
you know
fight fire with fire.
I mean, wait, how many lady generals does he have working for him?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I was doing the number. I
counted.
Yeah,
no,
I didn't let Tinge have the math on this one. I didn't.
What do you guys think their sort of default animal would be? Because it wouldn't be lions. Like, what animal would it be?
Cats. It's hard not to say cat, because one of them has a cat.
True.
It would be the crab thing that nearly ate Shiro.
Tentacle
long.
Or a centipede.
Sure.
I'm personally going
all the legs.
Form worm.
I'm personally going dragons.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Yeah.
Go full Beast Wars Megatron on this
one. I'm fine with
this. Or just old school Power Rangers.
Yeah, just a giant man.
I don't know why they would choose Earth.
Or somehow
dinosaurs,
the Galra Empire has like pickup trucks.
Just semi.
Yeah. A couple people in chat, Chica Serpentera. Knight says yes. Wolves for anti-Voltron, which I think is pretty great.
Oh my gosh, they would be the best dire wolves.
Yeah, I think that would make more sense, actually. Awesome. Going against lion, it would make sense for it to be a wolf.
Yeah, because it's sort of like a wild, more powerful dog versus a wild, more powerful cat.
Or hippos.
I'll kill everything.
Yeah, people suggested that in the chat as well.
That's their
strategy. Is they're like, we
psychological warfare just... against Keith.
I can't hit that. It's a hippo.
Hippos are terrifying.
And Nardi's up there going, how do you think I feel?
They're
cats.
Really.
Yeah, hippos I will not mess with.
Nope.
No.
They kill more people than lions.
I'm not messing with chimps either.
And sharks, I think.
Yes, and sharks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hippos are the most dangerous animals.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, they
trick you into thinking they're cute.
Yeah,
those teeth will crush your head like Oberyn Martell, man.
Yeah.
Oh!
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
It's been like four
It's like three seasons.
Yeah. I know. Hey, I know some people
and
have
I'm still not over, over it.
Yeah. Too soon.
I say that like I'm not already making jokes about what happened last night, but that really is spoiler territory that I'm not going into.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
I called that, by the way.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
I totally called it.
They telegraphed.
Called the whole dang episode. Yeah, it was so predictable.
Anyway, not that after show.
Talk about Giant Lion.
Anything else you want to say about these episodes, about this season as a whole, behind the scenes stuff, stuff you want the fans to know?
Let's see. Man, that's a whole lot of, that's a barrage of questions.
Okay. I have
no idea. No idea where to begin. Yeah. I loved this season. It was short, but that's a Netflix thing that they're doing now.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that we're going to see the next drop very soon. I had a great time being Sven, and this has been really cool. I got a lot of heat for a tweet that I put out the night, the premiere night.
I remember. Official heat or fan?
And I just want to say that I never said that it still isn't a privilege defending the universe with everybody. Yeah. Just that it has been, and it has. So that's all I wanted to say. Look, there was a pretty bad leak, and I wanted to make sure everybody was in the right mood, the appropriate mood for the episode.
Right.
So
right.
I was just having a little fun.
You should be in pain when you walk into this. So
you should feel like, you know, I don't know, like maybe Shiro isn't going to be there.
You should
it's
go
the
into
Shannon McCormick school of trolling.
You really should go into every episode thinking that not everybody could make it out of this episode.
Yeah,
in one
scene. That's what I do.
That's true.
Yeah, and again, like, the show is really good about, again, playing up the drama in a very straightforward, like, it's, they play it straight, and, like, so you should treat it seriously, because that's the way the show treats it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I definitely feel like this season was significantly darker than the first two.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, very much so.
We introduced interdimensional travel,
mind control.
Cloning, mind control. Yeah. A couple things we'll talk about next week.
Yeah. Like, totalitarian rulers for people we thought were good.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
I was going to say, totalitarian rulers have been a thing for the whole series, though.
Kind of the thing.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
God bless Beast Wars fan. All they have to say is Josh was frozen today.
We're getting way back. Thank you for that.
Wait, what?
He was on an ice planet.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, okay. Cool. Got it.
The most inside of jokes. Thank you so much for joining
Thanks
us.
Thanks for having me back. I love coming back here every time.
Josh, tell us about Spider-Man, because that's a thing I know
you're
working on.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I can finally talk about that. Yeah, I play Norman Osborn on the new Marvel Spider-Man that's going to be on Disney XD.
Right.
So I have lived long enough to see myself become the enemy.
And still a dad, though.
Still a dad.
I mean, actual dad.
I'm a father to Max Middleman.
Who plays
my son.
And, so funny.
It's. I mean, we always kind of mess around in character. So I always tell him how not proud of him I am. And he tells me, you know, when we leave the session, he's like, "I love you, Dad," and I'll just like look at him disapprovingly and turn away. And then I have to give him a hug because I really do love Max. So I'm working on that. Let's see. I also have Koolapari out on Netflix as well, the Frog Show.
Oh yeah.
And what else? What else? I think there's something else, but I can't. Again, two young kids, my brain is mush. Don't remember a thing.
It'll be on my Twitter at some point,
yes.
Yeah. And where can the people go if they want to follow you?
I'm on Twitter at Josh Keaton. I am on Instagram. My handle is Space Padre. I have a Facebook fan page, which is Josh Keaton's page. And those are all the places you can find me. I kind of stopped using Snapchat because I can't do the face swap anymore.
Yeah.
And that was the whole point of doing it. So it was Kosh Jeetan, but I'm not even using it anymore until they bring back face swap. So.
Yeah. There's the petition, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's got to happen. What else is the point of Snapchat?
Yeah, I agree.
All right, if you guys want to support the show, best thing you can do, go to iTunes, leave a review, leave a follow us, and leave 5 stars. The producers do look at those reviews, and if you want us to come back for next season, show your support there, because that is how and why we stick around as an after show.
Yep.
Emma, where can the people find you?
I can be found all over the internet at my name, Emma Fife. You can see me on Collider TV Talk on Tuesday and Thursday this week at 11 o'clock a.m. Pacific time. Also tomorrow night at the Twitch channel that I work for, which is HyperRPG, twitch.tv/HyperRPG. We are launching our new sort of general anime talk show called Hyper Otaku. That'll be streaming live at 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific time. So come join us. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, gosh. I don't know how to do this anymore. You guys can find me all over the social medias at atorres890. That's A-T-O-R-R-E-S 890. I'm still doing my wedding vlogs. They're slowly coming out, but we are doing honeymoon vlogs as well. Aww. We will be in Maui for a week, and so if you guys are out there and you just see us hanging out... Come on, hang out. We love talking about Voltron all the time. So, sadly enough, I will miss next week, but trust me, there will be tweets. As the show isn't, I will be in the live chat for sure.
Aww. Hashtag, there will be tweets.
There will be tweets.
I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. I am also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, and I write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with two Ks. Be sure to check those out. Be sure to also check out Silver Screams. I'm going to be on the Hatchet 10th Anniversary Red Carpet tomorrow for Silver Screams. So if you guys have questions for the cast and crew, be sure to tweet them at me. It's going to be fun.
And I am Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias as well as on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. I'm streaming video games. I've started Hustle Cat, which is my first dating sim, and that's been wild. So follow up on that. Robots in Disguise, there is no episode this week because I'm the only one doing it. So we are coming back next week with a double feature. That's Tuesdays at 7. That'll be a blast. Of course, the season finale of this is also next week on Monday, so come back for that. And I am on Geek and Sundry's Gather Your Party on Friday nights, twitch.tv/geekandsundry at 9:30 p.m. Thank you guys so much for watching, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Yoo-hoo!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.